Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back here another week together to go through God's word, to hear what is God saying to us and what are we doing about it. And last week, if you joined us, we were in the first letter of St. John. And so we've been a lot in the letters of St. Paul, a little bit in St. Peter, a little bit in the Gospels, and then jumping around to the writings of St. John. And so this week, we're not going to be in 1 John, but we're going to be back in the Gospel of John, which is a little bit different because those letters from St. John come really from his heart, from his own pastoring in the churches, from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Gospel is inspired by the Holy Spirit, but it's really John's recounting of Jesus's time on earth, the story of Jesus as told by John. So we're going to be back. We're going to spend some time together in John chapter 12. And as I've been reading this week and really just going through some of the Gospels and some of the scriptures that the Lord has been leading me to, in particular the scripture that we're going to talk about this week, and that combined with on the heels of so much just going on in our culture, and we have in the church some new canonized saints, St. Carlo and St. Frassati. I keep like wanting to say blessed. I feel like it throws me off and then I can't remember their names because I'm so used to saying Blessed Pier Giorgio and Blessed Carlo. But just in the combination of so much tragedy and then also looking at the lives of these saints, I've really just been pondering and thinking about that question. What does it mean to be great? What does it mean to live a great life? What does it mean to be heroic? What does it mean to live out heroic virtue? What does it mean to actually be changed from the inside out, to bear good fruit for the kingdom of God? And not only what does it mean to be great, but what does it mean to be great in the kingdom? What does it mean to be great in the kingdom of God? What does that mean? What does that look like? Because it's actually profoundly different than what it means to be great in the world. And there's some things that overlap, but there's a profound difference of what it means to be great in the kingdom and what it means to be great in the world. So I want to talk about that a little bit this week and explore that in our own lives using this section from John chapter 12 that we're going to go over. So first, if you'll join me, we're going to read our psalm. We're going to pray Psalm 121, and then we are going to dive into John in a particular way. So if you'll join me, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Lord, we lift our eyes to you today. Wherever we are, no matter where we're at or what we're going through, we lift our eyes up to you today. You are our help and our strength. It is not our own strength that we lean upon, not our own goodness, not our own accomplishments, but it is upon you, Lord, that we lean. And so we give our hearts to you. We give everything to you. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to this word that you will speak to us. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we are going to be in John chapter 12. And friends, just as we're getting into this word, I was praying beforehand, and I just want to give a little encouragement because I was in the Adoration Chapel today, and I was like really trying to read my Bible. I was trying to journal, and I just was tired. I felt like my mind was not able to focus. I am kind of like in the change of season, you know, as the weather gets cooler, I have a bad cold and am coming off of that like that little kind of hangover when you take NyQuil and you're a little groggy and you're like, okay, this is TMI. Why are you saying this? But I'm saying this because sometimes when we read the Bible and sometimes when we go into our prayer times, when we go into our prayer closets, we don't always feel like focused and like we come out of there and like, oh, I got this amazing word and now I'm going to go throughout my day and it's going to be fire and it's going to be amazing. And I just feel like I'm going. Sometimes we go to prayer and we feel the exact same as when we left. Sometimes we're frustrated. This morning I was frustrated. I usually write so much in my journal and I'm like, yes, Lord, like you're speaking to me. And I wrote a little paragraph because I could not focus. Every time my eyes would go on the paper, I was like coughing and you know, and blowing my nose and all this kind of stuff. And I was just frustrated by the humanity of really like, oh, I wanted a word from the Lord. I wanted to feel this way in prayer. And so I just want to remind you, if you're in a season of dryness, if you're tired, if you're sick, whatever is going on in your heart, if you're even taking this in and you're like, wow, I don't feel like this is touching me. I feel like I can't focus, whatever it is, that just showing up is what the Lord desires. Just sitting there before Him, that we don't have to be doing anything. It's not about our focus. It's not about our strength. It's not about our works. It's not about whether or not we feel good. It's not how good we come into that prayer session, whether we're being really holy right before and haven't sinned for a week and that opens ourselves up to God. We have all of these like human myths that we think still going into prayer and going to God's word. And so sometimes we think when I'm coming into this word, as I read it, as we go through it, my humanity doesn't determine what the Lord has for me in this word, right? My distraction, whatever's going on in my life, whatever's going on in my heart, even if it feels dry, it's not determining what the Lord wants to give me. This is still God's word and we're still feeding on it together. So I just wanted to give that discouragement because I know we know, or that encouragement, sorry, not discouragement. I don't want to discourage you. I want to encourage you. I want to give you that encouragement as the Lord was giving me encouragement this morning to say, just being here with the word is enough. Just coming here to the word is enough. Just reading it is enough and allowing me to do what I desire to do, that is enough. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're going to hop into John chapter 12. And there's a lot that happens in John chapter 12. So John chapter 12 begins with Mary anointing Jesus' feet with the oil, with Mary pouring out this perfume upon Jesus' feet, right? And so this happens. And then after that, there's this Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So we have Palm Sunday. So we're getting closer and closer and closer. And we can tell now that we're in John 12, as the chapters go higher and higher, Jesus is getting closer and closer into his passion. And so everything that happens is higher and higher stakes. So it's important to know before the part we're going to read is Palm Sunday, is them saying, Hosanna, here comes the King of glory, right? And so Jesus is going in, coming into the city, welcomed. And so we're going to start actually in 12 verse 20. We're going to read a little section, and this is immediately after Jesus coming into the city and them saying Hosanna to the King of Israel. So we're going to start John chapter 12 verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who were from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew went with Philip, and they told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now we could keep going, and we probably will keep going later, but that's an amazing, amazing set of passages. And so what do we see happening here? So we see Jesus, he comes in. He comes in on the donkey. Everyone's like, Hosanna to the King of Kings. We're worshiping him. They're praising him. And there's this thing for the disciples is they're still not totally getting what's happening in the kingdom. They're still not totally getting what Jesus's mission is. And how really could they? Because they're not enlightened by the Holy Spirit. They don't totally know exactly what Jesus is talking about. So many of them probably still have this idea that Jesus is going to overthrow the Roman Empire. And this goes to the beginning of this idea of greatness that we're talking about, of what does it mean to be great in the kingdom of God? What does it mean to be great in the eyes of God? And so I bet the disciples, you know, they spend all this time with Jesus, and yes, people hate him, but at the same time, he's doing a lot of epic behavior, right? They're following him around like their rabbi, and they're healing people. They're seeing visions of Elijah and the patriarchs on the mountain. They're coming down. They're casting out demons. It's one exciting thing after another. And then Jesus is welcomed into the city and people are worshiping him. And the apostles are probably like, here we go. Like, it's starting. This is what we're waiting for, right? And so after this episode, what we see is Philip, he's bringing some Greeks and they're saying, we want to see Jesus. So Philip says, okay, he tells Andrew and then they tell Jesus and Jesus comes. And what does he say to his apostles? What does he say? Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. So they're coming up. They're like, we want to see Jesus. And what does he say first? The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Who is the Son of Man? The Son of Man is Jesus. And there's one thing I want to point out first. The hour has come. The hour has come. This idea of timing. This idea of timing in God's kingdom. We see Jesus. He lands on earth. Not that he comes from a spaceship, but he comes on earth as a little baby. And when he begins his public ministry, what does he say? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The time is now. There's a communication of there's a time in history that has now begun with the coming of the person of Christ. Something is changing. He's saying the moment is here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Something is beginning to move. We see in Hebrews, it says, in the olden days, God has spoken to us by his prophets, but now he has spoken to us by his Son at the appointed time. All throughout scriptures, we hear about this phrase, the appointed time, at the right time, in the right time. The Father has a plan. And in that plan, there are set times. And now Jesus is saying the hour has come. And so it's this amazing, beautiful thing that even Jesus, the Son of God, he's obeying to the timing of the Father. He's obedient to the timing of the Father. Jesus says over and over again, my hour is coming. The hour will come. The time is coming when you will worship on this mountain in spirit and in truth. He's saying he's pointing to a time that will come, a time that is set by the Father, and Jesus is obedient to that time. And so here we have him. He just went through this Palm Sunday thing. And with every step, everything that is happening, he knows that he's getting closer to his passion. And there's a way that he desires to be obedient to the timing of his Father. But I bet he was also afraid. And so when he says, the hour has come, he's saying, it's time for me to die. And we'll get into that more. But the hour has come. What is the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified? This time that is appointed by the Father. And friends, it's such a beautiful thing that even Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, becomes obedient to the timing and the plan of the Father. Scripture says he becomes obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. And so how today can we follow Jesus's footsteps? Can we follow in his path to become obedient to the plan of the Father? Join us again tomorrow. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.